So this will be a discussion on that topic. So it won't be like directly Shastra. We're not going to be studying specific verses from the Bhagavad Gita or something like that, but rather talking about Srila Prabhupada's desire for unity and diversity and how important it is to, well, to us individually as devotees and also as servants of Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So the way I'd like to do this is keep it really informal. So at any time you have a question or a comment, just let me know, right? So it's not going to just be a lecture. You ready? Seatbelts on? Okay. So first of all, let's define the term. Anyone can read Hindi? What does it say? Very good. And what does it mean in English? Unity and diversity. Very good. Yes. And it's in modern history, meaning modern meaning not like Shastric history 5,000 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. The term or the concept comes up in Greek literature, in Roman literature, in different places that probably wouldn't be connected. They didn't have the internet in those days. So Taoists, Native Americans. And it also appears in terms of in faith organizations, one of the first times at least that people are familiar with it appearing was in the 1930s, the Baha'i faith. And the person who was in charge of the Baha'i faith at that time said that this concept of unity in diversity should be the watchword for the entire organization. It's that important. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to switch easily to other stuff. But, oops, that's not what I had looked for. The Mormons, let's see if I can find it real quickly. Here we go. This is from one of their literature. Living the gospel does not require people to give up what makes them unique. The qualities that form identity and build character also contribute to the good of the church. For all their differences, Latter-day Saints, that's another name for Mormons if you're not familiar, Latter-day Saints find comfort in their commonality. Whenever they travel, whether it be in Seoul, Sao Paulo, or St. Petersburg, members of the church feel the fellowship of the religious community. Sounds familiar? If you go to a temple in any of those cities that were just mentioned, or Mayapur, or someplace, you feel some camaraderie, right? They share a common set of beliefs, a familiar vocabulary, like we say Hari Bol. Right? Hari Bol is universal. There's a few things that are universal in ISKCON. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, and pizza. Everyone likes pizza. Though they may disagree over politics or economics, they grow together as they address differences with understanding and sensitivity. At least that's aspirational. In the end, there are no American Latter-day Saints, European Latter-day Saints, Latin Latter-day Saints, African Latter-day Saints, or Asian Latter-day Saints. There are only Latter-day Saints, pure and simple. So that's in religious. Now in political, this was from a website about India. So India says, it says, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Islam, Sikhism, and Christianity are the major religions. Besides 22 constitutionally recognized languages, there are several hundred dialects. There is diversity not only in regard to racial compositions, religious and linguistic distinctions, but also in patterns of living, lifestyles, occupational pursuits, inheritance and succession of law and practices and rights related to birth, marriage, etc., death, etc. The idea of unity in India is inherent in all its historical and socio-cultural facts, as well as in its cultural heritage. India has one constitution, providing guarantees for people belonging to diverse religious cultures and languages. It covers people belonging to all socio-economic strata. And then the Prime Minister of India just said a few months ago, our country is full of diversities And unity in diversity is the beauty and strength of our nation. And that is what keeps inspiring us. So it's a concept. Is that going to work? Yes. Okay. That is used in many different ways by many different people. Okay. How is it going to cooperate? Yes. All right. So we could say that the goal of unity and diversity is unity without uniformity. In other words, there's a unity in an organization, but without a lot of force. And diversity without fragmentation. So there's differences, but they don't force people into different corners, and the place falls apart. So some examples of unity in diversity. Can you see that? That's an orchestra. Right? And so if you look at what an orchestra is made up of, right? All those different, some people play the flute, the violas, the tubes, the trombones, the percussions, the trumpets, right? They're all so much diversity, right? But obviously the goal is one unified song, right? One unified sound. Okay? Car parts. You don't just, right, you know, say, well, I really, you know, if we just have a couple of mufflers and three tires, everything's good, right? The whole is greater than the parts, and you need all of the different diversity, all the different parts of a car to put them together and make them into a car. So just a few examples. There's a variety of military branches here in America, right? There's the Navy, the Marines, the Army, and the Air Force, and the Coast Guard. Or even this, right? And this was what part of the reason there was a civil war, because there was some states that really wanted to basically say the most important thing is the individual state. But we probably don't even think about it when we say, I was born in the United States. We don't actually think that that's significant. They're states, and they're all united, right? How many of, right? But that's how actually America was created, taking all these individual states that had their own ideas and uniting them all together into one country. And the example that Prabhupada often gives, that that, you know, the hand, different fingers, but one entity. Okay? And the other example from Shastra and from Srila Prabhupada is the social body, right? That the Shudras are like the legs, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas. But you don't, you know, you might, we sometimes say, oh, the Brahmanas are the most important, but try having a society of all Brahmanas. It would be a mess. Who's going to take out the garbage? Not me. I'm a Brahmin. You see, I got this thread here, you know, forget it, whatever. You know, it would be like, there was a joke about the, in the earlier days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada had set up the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which were devotees who, many of them had PhDs and were scientists. And it was in Atlanta, and Srila Prabhupada said that because they'll be hosting and inviting scientists and professors over to talk with them, they should get an apartment, and they should make it like a nice apartment with, you know, couches, etc. So then the devotees who were living in the temple, they were, you know, living like brahmacharis and sleeping on the floor, and the other people who were also often brahmacharis, devotees in BI, had this nice apartment. And so the brahmacharis got a little envious, and they said, high living, simply thinking. You know, instead of high live, what is it? What is the saying that Prabhupada would say? Simple living, high thinking. High living, simply thinking. Anyway. So, what about Srila Prabhupada's use of this term, unity in diversity? So this is the philosophical part. That every one of us is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That accounts for unity and diversity. And then adding to that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam on the strength of his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, That philosophy holds that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from his creation. That is to say, there is unity in diversity. So on the philosophical level, there's unity in diversity. We are part and parcel. Anyone can explain what that means, part and parcel? We say it all the time. Okay. Anyone awake? All right. Very good. So we come from Krishna, and in one sense everything is Krishna, and so in that sense we are one with him in one sense, but we are, as you're saying, separate souls. Of course, we also have super soul inside of us. So we're part and we're parcel. So inconceivably, simultaneously, we are one with and different from God. And that is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Achintya. And is it easy to understand? Well, it's easy to quote the Sanskrit, that's easy. But the first word is achintya. It's inconceivable. So if you have trouble conceiving about it, conceiving it, don't worry. Because by definition, it's hard to conceive. Achintya beda, abeda, tattva. Okay? Then, any questions so far? Okay. Then, Srila Prabhupada would use the term in practical management and the future of the ISKCON society. And he says this here, material nature, this is a very famous letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote. It goes on for a few slides, actually. But material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in Kali Yuga. How do we usually translate the word Kali Yuga? The age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And you know, sometimes we kind of like joke about it. Oh, Prabhu, you know, it's Kali Yuga. Kya kare, what to do, right? But I don't know how much we actually fully appreciate what that means. That it really is the age of Kali. And it's, you know, we're just studying in Washington, D.C. Finished the 17th chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And there's the whole, Kali, 17th and 18th chapter about Kali, the personification of Kali, the interaction with Maharaj Parikshit. So Kali Yuga, but for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. If we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. And then he continues, I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. So Prabhupada thought it was so important that all the leaders of the society should come together every year and discuss this. So that's why I was asked to speak on this. It's an important topic. Then he goes on to say, but if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity and diversity. And then he says, that will make our movement successful. So it's important point. And then one last one. This was a discussion with Mr. O'Grady. In the vase, or the vase, there is a variety of flowers, and that variety helps us better appreciate the idea of flowers. That is called unity in diversity. Our students come from different backgrounds, but because they are all in Krishna consciousness, they are unified. So, in this room, do you all come from the same background? I don't think so. Where are you from, Prabhu? Minnesota. Where are you from, Prabhu? Which part? Manipur. Manipur is very close to Minneapolis, right? Same weather. Right. And you're from? New York. Oh, well, he's special. I'm from New York. See, this is false identity. What part of New York? Brooklyn. Wow, you're very special. I'm from Long Island. And Mataji, where are you from? South India. Vishakhapatnam or something like that? Or? Close to Tirupati. Okay. I'll be there in 2 months. Very good. So Tirupati, and if you know, Tirupati and Manipur are not very close to each other. They're also thousands of kilometers away. So Prabhupada's statement is true even in this room. Our students come from different backgrounds, but because they are all in Krishna consciousness, they are unified. Okay. All right. Now, where does diversity come from? Well, we're going to analyze this concept a little bit, okay? Well, first of all, it's the nature of this world. Krishna has arranged for, there's how many species? 7,223,605? 8,400,000, right? So there's different species of life. And how many, do you know how many human species are? 400,000. So he's created variety. Now, how would it be that in this room, probably if we talked about certain aspects of Krishna consciousness, we might get different points, we might get different opinions, or even this simple. On Mondays in Washington, D.C., we play a lecture tape of Srila Prabhupada's, and everyone gets a printout of it, and they have a pen and a board to write on. And the idea is that we listen to the lecture of Prabhupada's, and people take some notes. And then after the lecture, somebody will lead the discussion and say, you know, what did you find interesting? What did you find interesting? And there's a variety. For some, I'm the last class, trying to remember some of the points that were brought up. But anyway, it's one person really got inspired by this sentence that Prabhupada said. Another person got inspired by something very different. Right? So where does that come from? Well, part of it comes from Purva Samskars. What does Purva Samskars mean? Past life, exactly. Purva means before, and samskars means mental impressions. Okay? Just like we use the word samskars, like there's, you know, different samskars for giving the child a name, first day of school, funeral, etc., right? And those are, again, those different ceremonies make a samskar, an impression. So Purva samskars is what we did in our past lives. And, you know, because all the births that we took in all these different places, they weren't by... Did you choose to be born in Brooklyn? Did you, like, fill out an application? No, right? Yeah, so, you know, it all comes due to our karma and Purva samskars. So that makes us different. We have different... We all have different impressions. You know, in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it talks about aparabdha, parabdha, Kuta and Bija. I don't know if you've studied that, but the four stages of karma. And the aparabdha karma is this like big, well, you know, like a big pot of unmanifested sinful activities or a karma, right? And all of us have different pots because of different activities that we perform, and those activities create a certain impression in the mind, and we carry the mind into our next life. So Purva samskars are one of the reasons for variety, for diversity, and Parabdha karma. And then as we were born into a different country, you couldn't even imagine the difference between Brooklyn, a Brooklyn birth and a Manipur birth. Correct? Very different. Right? Did you eat bagels when you were a child? I asked if you ever had bagels. You know, it's a kind of food that they eat in Brooklyn all the time. And you probably didn't have that. And you probably didn't know how to say forget about it, which is another Brooklyn term. And then he didn't live in Manipur, which is actually, I've been there, it's a beautiful state. So, anyway, where we're born, and even you could be born on the south side of Chicago and the north side of Chicago. I mean, south side of Chicago and Evanston might as well be Manipur and, well, no, it's not that bad, but, you know, it's different, right? It's very different, even within the same city, right? So we have different cultural and family upbringings, right? Some parents are like this, some people's parents are like that. So there's multiple reasons why we have different opinions. So we shouldn't be surprised. Right? It's natural. And therefore, I really like this saying that we often do not see things as they are, we see things as we are. This is something to meditate on a bit, because the thoughts that enter our mind, or the judgments that we make about people or about things or about places, how much of that is purely our spiritual acumen, and how much of it is just, it's our conditioning coming out? That's a question. It's something to be introspective about and to think about. The things that sometimes we're very convinced about, well, we should take a step back. You know, we'll talk about this a little later. But sometimes there's certain teachings, let's say from Srila Prabhupada, that we like a little bit more than others because they match a little bit more with our cultural upbringing or our, you know, our certain particular kind of diversity. Something to think about. Any questions? The difference between
one's inclinations.
Inclinations.
Propensities.
Propensities.
Purva samskaras. And I'm thinking about all this based on, you know, when we look at the flower arrangement in a vase. A flower is a flower, and it's not like they're choosing the color. You know, they are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we see ourselves, what we are is supposed to be a spirit soul.
Right.
With only one propensity, and that is to cheat.
To cheat?
That's the only propensity we have in the scripture. What is the other propensities that's natural? You know, so would you be able to talk something about that?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question. Does the question have anything to do with our ability to change our propensities?
Yeah, my experience of a lot of the diversity is based on one's inclinations.
On inclinations.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, how much of that is...
And so where do the inclinations come from?
From...
They come from our corrupted karma. They could also come from our early training in Krishna consciousness.
Exactly.
Our association. Actually, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a list of... This is a little different, but it's connected. There's a list of 10 things that affect what modes of material nature we're affected by. And one of them is our association. One is what we eat. One is what we drink. The time of day. And a bunch of others, which I slipped my mind. I think what's important is two things. We can become aware of our inclinations, that's your word, our tendencies, or even you could say our bias. It's good to become aware of that, and we can also change it. Right? You know, that beautiful example that I think originally comes from Hridayananda Maharaj, that, you know, there's certain predestinations because of our karma, and he gives the example that if you're going on, like I just flew from Washington, D.C. to Chicago. So the plane was definitely going to go from Washington. I mean, unless some terrible thing happened, it's going to go to Chicago. So that was predestined, you could say, once I got on the plane. But when I was on the plane, I could sleep. Actually, I traveled with my son. I could talk to my son. I could read the Bhagavatam. I could chant my rounds. I have choice within that predestination. So my main point here so far is to become aware that we may have some biases, some inclinations, your word, based on some of these things. Okay? You don't look fully satisfied, but we'll move on and see if we satisfy you more. Any other thoughts? Okay. Now, where does it come from specifically to in ISKCON? Like I said, that we may have different trainings in Krishna consciousness. Devotees who become devotees in Chicago may have different training than in Kuala Lumpur or in Manipur or Orissa or wherever, right? There may be some different, you know, associations that we have. ISKCON's in 100, more than, well over 100 different countries. So there's that variety. And this is something I'm going to talk about for a few minutes now. Prabhupada himself, he would say different things at different times. That looks a little yellow because I have a program that makes it turn so you can sleep at night. You don't get the bright light. Anyway. So let's look at one of these. Okay, well, let me ask you. Did they go to the moon? You see, that's what people think that Prabhupada said. Now let's see what Prabhupada actually said. So one, now he may have said that, anyway, the first one, devotee. Prabhupada, when they said they went to the moon and they showed films of them landing and walking on the moon, was all this a bluff? Prabhupada, yes. Here they, all laboratory work, that's all. Devotee, they all made it up? Prabhupada, yes. Okay, so that's one statement. Next statement. And practically we see they are going to the moon planet, but they cannot stay, uselessly going and coming. So there he says they did go. Next one. With our advanced consciousness, human beings are naturally inclined to travel in outer space and to reach other planets, either by spaceships, mystic powers, or demigod worship. In the Vedic scriptures, it is said that one can reach other planets by any one of these three ways. But the most common way is by worshiping the demigod presiding over a particular planet. So there Prabhupada says you can go by spaceships. Next. Maybe they means the inhabitants of the moon planet. They are also diverting them to the deserted portion of the moon. They are also intelligent that, quote, these people are coming from earthly planet unauthorized, so let them be diverted to the deserted portion. The point is, Srila Prabhupada would say different things at different times, according to time, place, and circumstance, according to the context of the discussion. But you see how you all said the first one was the only one that you had heard. So sometimes we have to look at the full picture. But you can see that there's diversity in Prabhupada's statements. Let's look at another one about dress. In our Krishna conscious movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against the Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilak on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. That's one statement. In our Krishna conscious movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion. The dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and tilak. Next, since they have taken to Krishna consciousness, their health has improved, and by following the rules and regulations, they have increased their bodily luster. When they are dressed with saffron cloth, with tilak on their foreheads and beads in their hands and on their necks, they look exactly as if they had come directly from Vaikuntha. And last, Prabhupada once saw a picture of Balavanta preaching during a political campaign. Behind him sat the mayor and another candidate. Balavanta wore a suit and tie, tilak and tulsi beads. His sikha was trimmed and his hair was grown out. When Prabhupada saw the picture, he said, "This is what we want, to preach in American dress." He said, "We should be known as American Krishnas." So you see, tilak, saffron, American Krishnas. Prabhupada would say different things at different times. This accounts for, do I have one more? Oh, yes, my favorite one is next. But this accounts for a lot of the diverse thought in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada himself would sometimes say different things at different times. My favorite one that totally bewildered me when I was a new devotee. Oh my God, and maybe some of you, I don't know if you remember reading Bhagavad Gita the first time, chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. But anyway, so in 28, Prabhupada says, although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. I said, oh, that's very nice. And then I read the next purport. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. All these are due to a material conception of life. Now he's actually making, now I can understand the context of the verse. He's making a certain point in a certain time, but you can see that there's differences. And you know, just as an aside, Prabhupada is, you know, he's adjusting details or making points within a particular context. He's certainly not changing principles or our siddhanta. Our siddhanta means the conclusion of the shastra. So I just wanted to make that clear. But what often will happen sometimes with devotees is they'll have what Ravindra Suprabhu sometimes calls a Srila Prabhupada quotes snowball fight. So one person will take the quotes that match their purva samskars and their cultural upbringing and say, this is what Prabhupada said, take that. And then the other person will say, they'll find other quotes from Prabhupada that match their way of seeing the world and throw it back at. And this way, actually not a lot is accomplished except people get a little tired of throwing things. We'll talk more about how to fix this situation. Any questions? Okay, now let's talk about unity. Where does our unity come from? You could say, should we be unified amongst all theists? Or should we, how about all vegetarians? How about all Vaishnavas? How about all Gaudiya Vaishnavas? How about all followers of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master? Or is it Srila Prabhupada? Now we understand that basically, you know, in terms of details of how ISKCON should be run, you know, the unifying principle in ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada. His words, his example, his instructions, right? You know, that's the main. Even if one of these another Gaudiya Vaishnava had said something, if it was different than what Srila Prabhupada had said, then we would stick to what Srila Prabhupada said, right? In our ISKCON organization. So he's kind of like the. And we talk about all the diversity, just like we have this now, after November 14th, 1977, when Srila Prabhupada returned to the spiritual world. So then we have so many different spiritual masters. There's that diversity, right? But there's unity all in terms of their being servants of Srila Prabhupada. So he's, you know, the unifying principle within our organization. Now it might be different in other organizations, but within ISKCON, that's clear. Any questions on that? Okay. So I was going to do an exercise, but I forgot to ask for a flip chart. So maybe we'll do it later, but So Jai Sisi Kishore Kishori Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. I remember being here before we installed the deities here and putting in the I don't know if it's still the same thing, but we're putting in the tiles on the altar. Giving away my age. Okay, so what are some of the obstacles? Okay, so do we allow for, you know, we're talking about unity and diversity, right? Remember, that's the topic. So do we allow for just unlimited diversity? Right? Well, no, right? Philosophically, people, you know, if somebody, you know, basically a Mayavadi is a person who, you know, of course we could have hours and hours of discussions about what Mayavadi philosophy is, but basically saying that, you know, God, okay, there may be a personal God, but that's not eternal. The real thing is impersonal and they have no features. So basically, you know, it's as Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhe, that the Mayavadi is like a walking offender, a walking offense, because they basically are saying that beautiful Krishna has no, he's deaf, he's dumb, he's useless. So Mayavad, would that we accept that diversity in our society? Certainly not, right? Or even the idea that Prabhupada is God, which some people over the years have sometimes thought is another kind of Mayavad. Sahajism is taking the pastimes, especially the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, you all know what it means, either prematurely only focusing on those pastimes and only explaining to other people those pastimes about Krishna, right? That's one of the offenses, in 10 offenses right against the holy name, is to preach the glories of the Lord, especially his intimate glories to the faithless. And certainly, we don't just worshiping for material success, although Krishna does say anyone know the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that even if you approach him with for material things, you are a sukritina? Anyone know that verse? The four kinds of pious people?
Artho jignyasu rakthati jnani cha.
Very good. Artho jignyasu arti jnani cha. Right. Yes. So the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, the wanting relief from distress, and those who are searching after the absolute truth. So they are sukritinas. But still, ultimately, that's not how we, right? We talk about pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma manavritam, that to have no other desire than to please Krishna. And also demigod worship is something that we wouldn't, that's not, it's outside of, in other words, there's so much diversity in ISKCON, but there are boundaries, right? And so these things that we're mentioning are outside of those boundaries. But there's so much inside the boundary. And then managerially, Prabhupada, I once did a little research project of how many times Prabhupada coined the phrase, mentioned the point about cooperation when he was writing letters about management in ISKCON. And it was, fair to say that it was a principle of Prabhupada's in terms of management, that we have to cooperate. We're volunteers, we're not getting paid big salaries, and yet an organization has to be organized. And that basically means there has to be some cooperation. There could be differences of opinion, but there has to be somebody who finally says, okay, we're going to do it like this. And also that Srila Prabhupada was very, anyone know what the first line of his will, last will and testament says? Okay. What's that? That's a great speculation. But it's wrong. He says that the governing body commission, the GBC, will be the ultimate, that's why UMA, the ultimate managing authority for the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was the first line. So that's actually an important principle that Prabhupada set up, that he didn't set up one person to be in charge, as was often the case in spiritual organizations in India. But he set up a group of people. The GBC will be the ultimate managing authority for the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if somebody says, well, the heck with those guys, that would be also outside of the boundaries. All right? Okay? Do we say unity at all costs, that we have to be unified? Well, this is another famous letter that Prabhupada wrote. The movement is for training men to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action, not for making bureaucracy. Once there is bureaucracy, the whole thing will be spoiled. There must be always individual striving, work and responsibility, competitive spirit, not that one shall dominate and distribute benefits to the others. and they do nothing but beg from you and you provide. Each center remained independent. So it wasn't also just merging everything together, but Srila Prabhupada understood we are all individuals. We have what inspires us, and we should use that inspiration, that in what is it, the IVS principle, ISV, what does it mean? Independent, spontaneous, and voluntary, right? So we use that in Krishna's service. So what are some practical challenges? Well, one practical challenge is if devotees sometimes focus so much on their guru who gave them diksha that they don't get the bigger picture of ISKCON with multiple gurus and so many aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters, right? It's kind of like, you know, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a discussion about the three levels of Vaishnavas, Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttam, right? And does anyone know the description of a Kanishta, the neophyte, the beginner? Well, one description is, they only see Krishna in the deity form, but they don't have respect for devotees. So this is a little bit of a Brajabihari speculation, but kind of expanding on that, some devotees only think they're supposed to serve their diksha guru, and all the other devotees can kind of like, yeah, you know, they're chopped cabbage. That sometimes happens. I remember I lived in Vrindavan for 21 years, and sometimes, like a spiritual master, during greeting the deities, the spiritual master will pay obeisances, if anyone's been to Krishna Balaram Mandir, and then they end up at Radhesham at the other end of the temple room, and then they have to get to Prabhupada's Vyasasan for Guru Puja. And usually the temple's just packed, especially these days, right? It's just like, you know, just so many people. So, and devotees, so many devotees. So sometimes, you know, kind of disciples who don't actually get this thing fully, they become like bulldozers and just, you know, throwing devotees all over the place so that Guru Maharaj can walk by. So, you know, so in order to serve their guru, they offend other Vaishnavas. That's not exactly the right idea. So here's a kind of a pet peeve of mine is like, okay, so let's say, you know, I'm initiated by a spiritual master and we have the same spiritual master, and you have a different spiritual master, right? So we say we're God brothers, but he's not a God brother. You know, so I mean, I can understand there's, but I kind of think that that's, for maintaining unity in ISKCON long term, there has to be that, you know, that we're all members of the same society. And we may have different gurus, shiksha gurus or diksha gurus, but the unity is really important, because we wouldn't want, you know, if there's 90 different gurus in ISKCON, we wouldn't want there to be 90 different movements. Right? That makes sense? Any thoughts on that, by the way? Controversial? Are they going to feed me prasadam tomorrow? Okay, then this next point, if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. So, in other words, okay, things outside of the boundaries, they're obviously, you know, bogus and, right? But within the boundaries, there is diversity. And even Srila Prabhupada would say, book distribution is the most important service. Deity worship is the most important service. Cooking for Krishna. He said, Gurukul is the most important program. You know, he was encouraging all of us, right? But if, you know, we get in a big fight, you know, book distribution, or you say, deity worship, you know. Right? You know, that example of the two people that are fighting, you know, which is better to cut things, a scissor or a knife? You know that story? Right? And they get in a big fight over it, and one of them, they push each other over the bridge, and the person who does the scissors can't swim, but they, you know, you see him as he's drowning, he puts his hand above the water and goes like this. He so wants to win the argument, you know. So if within bona fide processes of Krishna consciousness there's differences, it's not a good idea. You know, Srila Prabhupada says that it's material to fight on those things. But rather, what could be our, instead, we try to really understand what the other devotee is saying, what the other devotee is thinking. That's what, it's called empathy. Trying to put yourselves in their shoes. Or here, Prabhu, can you give me your glasses? What's your name? Michael. Okay. So you see, so what we basically want to do is see the world through the way Michael sees the world. Instead of, see, now this is the way Braja Vihari is just trying to see the world. This is how most of us see it, right? The way, but putting aside our way and trying to really understand, thank you, what another person is seeing, that can be helpful. Not that we abandon our own understanding or our own preferences, but it's good to understand the other person. Otherwise it can be or to say that there's a variety of understandings. So you say tomato, I say tomato. The mode of passion in the I won't find the reference now, but maybe I should. Hold on. I have to find that quote. It should be here if I can find. That thing keeps popping up. If I'm patient, well. Oh my God. What is all that? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I won't. We'll go back to this. I wanted to get the exact quote, but we won't do that. Instead, Krishna basically, I'm paraphrasing now, obviously, but Krishna basically says that in the mode of goodness, one's tendency is to see the unity. Right? For example, look around this room and you see all servants of Krishna, all spirit souls. Okay? Of course, if you see spirit soul, that's transcendental, but that's the mode of goodness, to see, even though we see so many different color outfits, men, women, Indian, American, this, Brooklyn, and I already forgot where Prabhuji's from. Minnesota, right? So the mode of passion, it forces us to focus more on differences. Right? Focus more on differences. So that's one thing that causes us to do the one above, that we fight on account of diversity. So trying to avoid the mode of passion is a great way to, or it's a challenge, we could say, to avoid fighting, or it's a challenge to having unity and diversity. Another challenge is establishing the GBC as state. I said that they're the ultimate managing authority, but is that fully established in our society yet? That's something that is a challenge. Bringing leading devotees from around the world together, you know, it's not easy. One of our biggest challenges in bringing devotees to Mayapur is South America. The devotees in South America, first of all, it's a very long flight. It's a very expensive flight, and they're probably most of the poorest countries. And there's thousands of devotees in South America. So just this whole thing of bringing devotees together from different walks of life, from different locations, to keep that unity together is a challenge. And another practical challenge is the flip side of allowing for diversity, is that just everyone has to be like lemmings, you know, lined up one after another. And that's a challenge, because we really want to honor innovation, ingenuity. You know, sometimes when you get my age, you start thinking, well, this is the way we've always done it. Can't do it any way different, right? But there's so many different ways to, let's say, spread Krishna consciousness. And there's Srila Prabhupada in the sixth chapter of the Nectar of Devotion talks about principles and details, right? And if you change a principle of Krishna consciousness, then that's a big problem. But if you also don't adjust details, then you often become irrelevant to the people that you're trying to share Krishna consciousness with. And, you know, what was relevant in 1967 is not necessarily relevant in 2015. One thing that's sometimes funny is, you know, the first generation of devotees, they use all these terms from the 1960s. And still sometimes new devotees, because they hear them, those devotees use it, right? But, wow, that was really a bummer. Boy, I was really, that's far out prasadam. People don't really talk like that anymore. 40 years ago they did. And sometimes they hear devotees, they think they were from like another time, you know, back to the future kind of thing. Any questions, comments? Okay. So, helpful tips towards unity and diversity. You know, there's this famous saying, think globally and act locally. Or as Prabhupada told one GBC member, he said, think of your the world first and your zone second. Okay. We talked about this already. Recognize our conditioning and attachment to it. And study, if we're going to talk about a certain topic, that's why God created this folio program, right? Study everything that Prabhupada said. And I don't know if, when I grew up around the holiday season, people would often give these boxes of chocolates, right? And some of them were milk chocolate, some of them were dark chocolate, some of them had toffee in them, some of them had walnuts, right? Cherries, right? I don't know if anyone ever seen those. And so we used to kind of, my brother and I, we would pick and choose which ones we liked. And then usually we didn't like the dark chocolate, so there would always be dark chocolate left, you know, after New Year's, right? Because we ate all the milk chocolate. So we don't want to do that with Prabhupada's statements. Pick the ones that we kind of like. Oh, that's a good one, right? Oh, that, no, I don't, yeah, that one, you know. We want to look at everything that Prabhupada, right? Like with the moon example, with the dress example, Prabhupada said different things at different times. We'd want to look at those, and if possible, even look, if it's possible, understand the time, place, and circumstance upon which he did it in order to get a full picture of Prabhupada. Not Prabhupada as I am, but Prabhupada as he is. Right? Just like we say Bhagavad Gita as it is. You know Radhana Swami's joke about that, right? Many of us have Bhagavad Gita as it is. We keep it on the shelf as it is. Anyway. And then this, I think it's the seventh chapter of the Gita. Word vada is used. And this is a quote from the purport. Merely trying to defeat one's opponent is called vitanda. But the actual conclusion is called vada. This conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna. So that takes some maturity, because if we see, our goal should be so sattvic and so Krishna conscious that we just find out what Srila Prabhupada, you know, what says or what Shastra says, and, you know, we accept it as it is, rather than trying to make it kind of what we would like it to say. That makes sense? Yeah? And so that's what vada is. Vada is, I'm detached. I go to the Shastra, I go to Prabhupada's statements and learn from it. And vitanda is, I already have my own opinion. Now I'm going to find those quotes that match my opinion and take those and throw them at you. See, there's a difference of detachment and attachment. Or you could even say honesty, right? And then study Srila Prabhupada's vision for ISKCON. What's our service in that regard? That's one of my favorite instructions I've ever heard in Krishna consciousness. When we're in any situation, whatever it is, we think, what's my service? What's my service? Now, any questions or comments on this? Okay. Now, just to let you know some current efforts, the GBC came up with a paper about the GBC being the ultimate managing authority, and that was important for posterity's sake, for people to understand what Srila Prabhupada's intentions were for the GBC as the group of leaders that together carry out his instructions. The ILS is the ISKCON Leadership Sangha. We have one coming up in February. We've had two so far. It's bringing temple presidents, Namhata leaders, Sangatan leaders from all over the world. We had 1,100 devotees last year. And we had 88 seminars and all kinds of things that they could hopefully take back to their temples and teach others. So it was bringing leaders together. And then the SGGS was something we just finished in February, which is the Sangha of Gurus, GBCs, and Sannyasis. So the top leaders of our society, we came together for a three-day program. And then another thing that we've been working on lately is that the GBC is spending less time on small things and coming up with a really good process to look at bigger topics. And then there's finally this GBC resolution, which really kind of is a manifestation of, you could say, of unity and diversity. So ISKCON has grown into an organization with multifaceted preaching programs. It may not be possible for a single temple or project to cover all such preaching programs. The GBC would like to encourage devotees, members, and individual initiatives to preach, and the resolve that multiple ISKCON entities can be accommodated in a particular city or geographical area. Such entities should work cooperatively with existing ISKCON temples and projects. Any concerns that arise in the course of expanding ISKCON's preaching in this fashion should be worked out amongst the leaders of those projects and or the GBC for that area. So finally, Prabhupada says, please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. So, what questions or comments do you have?
When you said Vada, I remember the...
There's a microphone.
When you said Vada, I remembered a sutra from Narada Bhakti Sutras.
From
Narada Bhakti Sutras. Which says, Vado Navalambyaha Bahulyavakashatvat Anyatatvacha. Which says that if you get used to being argumentative in bhakti, it will lead to diverse meanings and opinions, mm-hmm. and indetermination of the path of bhakti. Right. So actually, in that commentary, Prabhupada's his first generation disciples have written the commentary on that. They say that the philosophical truths are to be rather introspected for cleansing purposes and improving bhakti, and not to win arguments. Mm.
Good, thank you. Yes, so it's good to, like, following up on that, it is good to be introspective and to think about, you know, but we have some natural things, just like I don't like Loki Sabji. Anyone know what Loki is? Maybe if you're not from India, you wouldn't know. It's a certain kind of vegetable. So, you know, even if I become a pure devotee, I'm probably still not going to like Loki Sabji. Of course, it's offered to Krishna. It's, you know, not too bad. But, you know, so we have our, but on, you know, like, for example, let's say if I walked in here to give the class and I was, you know, I was wearing really fancy silk, this and that, you know, you might think one way about me, right? And if I was wearing, you know, torn blue jeans and a tie-dye shirt with a peace sign, you'd probably make some assumptions about me, right? If I was wearing a sari, you'd probably make another kind of assumption about me, right? So we make assumptions all the time, and some of them, of course, are based more about us than about, of course, the examples I just gave are a little extreme. But it's good to be conscious of our in Sanskrit it's called chitta vritti, our worldview, the way we see the world, and or we could say standard word in ISKCON, our conditioning. Other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. I have a question about one of the slides, one of the points about innovation.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't like change the process, but we should try to move forward. That's like really subtle. Like, I was wondering if you could go in more detail of that.
About innovation and...
Yeah.
Okay. So
you said something about details.
And principles.
And principles. Yeah.
So a principle, for example, is to share Krishna consciousness with others, right? To help people. A detail is, do we go out on book distribution? Do we start a website? Do we have a Krishna lunch or a Krishna lounge or a Krishna house? Or do we go to a university, or do we go to retirement home, or do we go to the south side of Chicago, the north side? Do we use this book? Do we use that book? Do we do Harinam sitting down? Do we do it standing up? And we might try something innovative and new. Vaisheshika was talking to us yesterday about how having mini festivals and renting a park and having spotlights on the bhajan party and all that. So that's, and even they bring trees with them set up little cherry trees. So that's innovative, right? Some of the things that devotees are doing over the internet is innovative. But it's this, so those are the details. But the principle remains the same. Of trying to give Krishna consciousness to fallen conditioned souls. So it's even Srila Prabhupada once said, the best way to control the mind is to think of ways to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's kind of pretty much a direct quote. So it's a good use of our mind to be thinking. And so how old are you? 21? And how long have you been practicing Krishna consciousness? A year, okay. So you would know much more about what would attract 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds than a 57-year-old would, right? So it would be good. So I may have been practicing a few more years than you, but it would be good for me to go to you and say, listen, we want to do more innovative ways to spread Krishna consciousness amongst millennials, people your age. What ideas do you have? Right? Like that. Is that okay? That makes sense. So, but it's a very important thing because if we change a principle, we're in big trouble, right? But if we don't adjust details, and like we're saying, we may become irrelevant. Now, the big question is, the $64,000 question is, what's the difference between a principle and a detail? Because they can look pretty similar, right? And Srila Prabhupada gave kind of an enigmatic statement because he was asked that question and he said, that takes some intelligence. That takes some intelligence. And that is sometimes what devotees will get in disagreements about because they may not say it like that, but what's in the background is someone's thinking something is a principle, the other thing is the person is thinking it's a detail. Can we go on let's say there was a person who was a Mayavadi and did a lot of chanting, was a famous singer, right? And what if we did a tour with them and also chanted Hare Krishna? Principle, to not associate with Mayavadis. Detail, that we're used, you know what I mean? So there's gray areas that take some intelligence. Good question. Other thoughts? Yes, microphone for Mataji. I can't hear you. Did you turn it on or off?
I think I did.
Now it works.
My question was, you brought up the point of past samskaras and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And how do we become aware of our, like, if our thoughts are coming from our past samskaras or from like a proper platform? Like, how would we know?
If our thoughts are coming from purva samskaras or from where? What's the other choice? Proper platform?
Yeah, like more that's relevant to the present situation versus...
Well, Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about this, it gives six symptoms of surrender, right? And it says, the first two lines are anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, to accept things that are favorable and to reject things that are unfavorable. So I don't know if it's favorable to try to analyze, which past life did this one come from, or to just weigh our thoughts against our knowledge that we learn from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra of what's favorable and what's unfavorable. It's kind of like, the origin of the jiva kind of question, and Srila Prabhupada's regular statement. My favorite answer to that is chapter 13, verse 20 of the Gita. In the purport, Prabhupada says it doesn't matter. it's just like if you got thrown in a lake and you're having struggling to get to the shore, you're going to take out time trying to philosophize, how did I get here, or get out. So kind of like, trying to figure out. It may not be easy to decipher, although I think in general we can take a step back, kind of like go in a helicopter and look down at our life and look down at our mind. It's a good exercise to do that because it's a good exercise to separate ourselves from our mind and to watch our mind as an observer. Right? And you see it, you see that mind going all over the place, and when is he going to shut up so I can take prasadam? And I thought this class was supposed to over at 7:30 and it's already 7:40, whatever our mind, and to observe our mind and almost not even be so judgmental, but just observe it going over here and there. We might say, gosh, that's probably, maybe that is a conditioning because I'm in the bodily concept of life or whatever, but just making that. It's a big challenge for devotees to separate us from our mind. And the mind, you see, what the mind does is the mind's job 24 hours a day, practically speaking, is to protect the false ego. The real problem is the false ego, who we think we are, because we still have remnants of thinking we're the enjoyer and the controller and we're this body and things are meant for our enjoyment, etc. And so to the extent that we have that false ego, then the mind accepts and rejects. That's all the mind does. Anyone here is a computer software engineer knows even the most complex computer is just a bunch of zeros and ones, right? So the mind is just accepting and rejecting, all based on false ego, who we think we are. So that's a good, it's a good exercise to detach ourselves, watch the mind's working, and you can even perhaps get some idea of what your upadis are, right? Upadis are false designations by how the mind accepts and rejects. So that's, that's a part of self-realization. So I wouldn't worry too much if it's poor, is it from my previous life, or is it from my mother, or maybe it's my father or my great uncle, you know, whatever, but it's a conditioning. And is it favorable or not favorable to Krishna consciousness? Okay? No? Yes? Okay. Other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone. By the way, I was told to go till 8, so I'm not... I hope your stomachs are okay till then.
Hare Krishna.
On one of your slides, it showed like different groups, larger and larger groups. Like,
yeah.
Focusing down onto like a sense of unity coming from our faith in Srila Prabhupada, being a member of ISKCON. So right. That's like our primary like circle of unity. Mm-hmm. But within that, there are like smaller, more like specific groups of like... give you a sense of unity that's kind of like unavoidable.
You mean even smaller than...
Within ISKCON, like let's mm-hmm. say like we're all devotees that serve in the Chicago temple, so that's,
right.
that'll give us a sense of unity, or more specifically, we're all Brahma, like there's a group
the Brahmacharis have their little,
so
yes.
How do you balance like smaller groups?
That's fine. That's a great question. Very good question. That those are all fine as long as we also maintain the unity. That's why it's such a great concept, unity in diversity. They're the yin and the yang, that you need both. Right. So if you just thought ISKCON means Chicago Brahmachari Ashram, it's a little small-minded. Although they're such nice Brahmacharis, it's fine. But right. But you can say, yes, my Sangha, my inspiration, a lot of it comes from being with the Brahmacharis in Chicago, and I'm a member of this worldwide organization with Brahmacharis in Kuala Lumpur, also that I probably would like to hang out with sometime if I could. So, but yes, there's nothing at all wrong, because you know, again, this we need identities, at least in this stage of our Krishna consciousness. So, so that's healthy as long as it's just not exclusive. Right, that's the point. All right. Will you forget it if I keep going for a minute?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I'm so old I forget things. We can sometimes team up with these bigger groups also. Right, like Srila Prabhupada told Peter Burwash to, you know, he should dedicate himself to spreading vegetarianism. Or sometimes we might go to a veggie, I don't know if you have veggie fests in Chicago or whatever we do in D.C. Or even just all theists, and we're on the same team, right, with anyone who believes in God. So, and in a certain forum, in a certain time, place, and circumstance, that could be our group. But in terms of ultimately, like, the details of ISKCON, it would be Prabhupada. Yes, your second point?
You just answered it.
Oh,
I was
going
to ask about the
I'm so groups. Smart. Yeah, because and we found sometimes, and this is again one of those sensitive things, right? But we if it's done well, teaming up with bigger groups can sometimes be helpful, can be a win-win kind of situation. What else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.